We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, oh, I need thee, Lord. number 20 in the hymn book. Let us sing together. Number 20.
Straight fall,
glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Have your way. Wonderful Jesus, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, 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 Lord, Lord, you are among us. Cry out and shout that would have a little the Lord Almighty, hallelujah, you reign, hallelujah. Hallelujah, far above all. Hallelujah, you reign, dear Lord. Glory, yes, Lord. Hallelujah, we acknowledge you as Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, 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 you are Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Wonderful Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are Lord of all, Lord of all, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us also sing number 37 in the hymn book. My wonderful, wonderful Lord. Number 37.
It's wonderful to be able to call him my wonderful Lord. He's Lord, and angels and seraphs in heaven are worshiping and adoring him, and everything bows down and sings praise to him. But when it gets personal, that's where it becomes wonderful to you. My Lord and my God. I was in Romania once years ago, and I don't know how to speak a word of Romanian, and I was kind of lost because the man I was with spoke Romanian. It was his country, and I didn't know. I was lost, and he was talking to everybody, and everybody was talking to him, and I appreciate how that feels when sometimes people come from another country and they're around in America and they don't know the language. It's a little uncomfortable, at least it was for me. And they're laughing and they're talking with one another. I went out for a walk one afternoon in a city called Cluj-Napoca. And here I was in no man's land. I guess somebody had slaughtered a pig that day, talking about your swine. And there it was laying on the side of the road. It was just draining the blood out of it. That was Cluj-Napoca. And I walked past the pig, and I thought maybe I shouldn't go out for a walk by myself. But I did, and I ventured into the town, into the city, and I was looking around, and it was a hot day. So I went into the church, a big Catholic church that was there. I think it was Catholic. And at least it looked like it from all the artifacts and stuff that was lining the beautiful building, though, beautiful old cathedral. And I went in there only because it was cooler. So I was sitting in the cathedral and just doing nothing. A lot of people were sitting in the cathedral. I didn't know what they were there for, but I was there to cool off. And all of a sudden, some people walked in, and it was obvious that they were special people. And a few men came in, and then this lady, this well-dressed woman, came walking in. I don't know who she was, and she went down the one aisle to the front. And then as she was looking at the artwork along the side, and I was noticing this because it was intriguing to me. I didn't know what was going on. And as she started to come back up the aisle, the other side aisle, as she got to the row, the people would all stand. And as she got to the second row, everybody else would stand in the second row. And I was in about the 17th row. It was a big place. And so I'm watching this all going on. And I found somebody there that spoke English. And it's a college kind of a town, so you might find an English-speaking student. And I found somebody there, and I said, "What's going on? Who is she?" "Oh, that's the Princess of Monaco." I said, "Okay, that's nice. I'm glad she's here." And I determined in my heart that she's nothing to me. So when she comes to my row, I'm not getting up. Everybody else gets up. I guess that's what you do, or that's what they do, in deference to her position, her title, who she was. And if she came to the 16th row, if I was in the 17th, and they all stood up, and I'm not going to bother me. I'm just sitting here relaxing comfortably. She got to the 17th row, and whoop, I got up. Because I didn't want to go to jail, or I didn't know what they would do, and she left the building, and we all lived happily ever after. She wasn't my wonderful princess. I left my wonderful princess at home. Is this being recorded? I have to remember Sunday night. Okay, I have to tell Joyce to listen to this one. Anyway, she wasn't, I wasn't going to, but I did. But it does make a difference. You know, he can be just, I'm not getting up. Jesus is here. That's nice. That's wonderful. But I'm not going to be moved. What's that to me? All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels, okay, let angels prostrate fall. But not me. I'm not doing this. What is that to me? Well, it's nothing to you unless he's your wonderful Lord. That makes all the difference in the world. That's what inspires our worship, our thanks. You know, when finally Thomas saw Jesus, the resurrected, he saw him standing there. He had heard all about Jesus. He had missed the meeting the Sunday before. That's why you go to church Sunday nights as well as Sunday mornings. He missed the Sunday night service. Jesus appeared to the rest of the disciples, and Thomas, I don't know where he was. But the next Sunday, Jesus came back to him, or the next time, and there they were, sitting in the room, doors being shut. Jesus appears in their midst, goes over to Thomas. Here, you want to see? You want to stick your hand in my side? No, no thanks. But he did. It's really me. And when Thomas really saw, when he really came to grips, this is Christ, this is God, this is Jesus. That made all the difference. It does make all the difference when you recognize who he is. When you come to grips with what he is to you, my Savior, my Lord, my God. And then to call him Lord, I guess, puts him in a position of authority. Where he tells us what to do, we don't tell him what to do. We're servants, handmaidens. He is the Lord. He tells us what to do. And not just in our lives, you know. Sometimes we want to know where we should live, who we should marry, and when we should do all this. Those are good questions to ask. Those are nice answers to have. But I doubt if that's where you start. I doubt if that's the first thing the Lord wants you to do. He wants you to obey him right here tonight at Pilgrim Camp. And that's how he'll reveal and show you step by step. His path will open to you. I don't think the will of God, and I know, you know, you go to classes and you hear all kinds of stuff and seminars about how to find the will of God. It's not an enigma. I don't believe the Lord in the Bible says, you know, my will is going to be a puzzle to everybody that wants to find it out. It's really hidden from everybody. Nobody's really going to learn it perfectly or discover it. I think he wants to show us his will. I think he's desirous to unfold. He has plans for us. He has good plans for us. And he wants to show us his will. But if he's not the Lord, if we're not walking in his paths and going his way, he can't divulge to us his plan for our lives, his will for our lives. And it starts in the little things. It starts in just serving him faithfully in meetings like this. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Maybe you came to a meeting tonight and you said, he wants me to do nothing because I never do anything. Well, what would happen if the Lord told you to speak tonight, testify tonight, sing tonight, pray tonight? Would you? No, I don't do that. I'm not getting up if he wants me to get up. He can do what he wants, but I'm not getting up. Well, maybe you should if he taps you on the shoulder. I don't do that. Well, maybe you should do that. He's the Lord. Paul the Apostle said when we come together, one person, some guy, he has an exhortation. Somebody has an admonition. Another person has a prayer. Somebody has a song. You know, it's not just the one person or the two people, the same old people, but the Lord wants to, and they're usually old, unfortunately. The Lord wants to use you and you and you and you. What's the motto of your church? Everyone?
Every member a minister.
Is it when you walk in the building, is it on the wall? Is that where I see it there? Every member a minister. Now they have, what do you, 5 ministers in your church? 5 ministers in the church, but they have a few hundred others. Every member a minister. Every member serving the Lord and serving one another. That's the way it should be. And that's the way it is at Pilgrim Camp. It's not just Brother Paul. It's not just Sister Elsie. It's not just Brother John. It's not just Sister Hofflander, but it's you, and it's her, and it's them. I was glad for Brian's testimony the other night. I was blessed by, I don't know who it was, if you're even here, but somebody sang a song. One of the waitresses let out in a song the other night, Wednesday night or Thursday night, whatever it was, at altar service, Thursday night. It was a blessing to me. So many in different ways, in little ways, in larger ways, but we're a blessing to one another. We need to, though, cooperate with the Lord. See, I don't think I will ever make any of you testify. So now, I mean, there are people that will, and I'm not saying that's wrong, but I kind of figure, look, if you don't want to testify, don't testify. If you don't want to pray, don't pray. Now, maybe it's good to get a little push and a nudge in the right direction, and maybe that's what I'm trying to do right now, is push and nudge in the right direction. I'll never single you out to say, you have to, you should, you're next. The Lord should be able to do that. The Lord should be able to single you out and say, you know what? You should speak a word for me. You should testify. You should thank me. I'm the Lord. And this is what I would have you to do. Now, not everybody's going to function in one meeting, in every meeting. But when he calls upon us, and it's not just in meetings, it's out of meetings. You see a kid walking around, and he looks like he just, you know, the earth just dropped out from under him because he lost a scavenger hunt or whatever he lost. And so maybe you want to bring him a word of encouragement, a word of cheer. Maybe you want to just smile or whatever it is. There's so many ways that we can be a blessing one to the other. And the Lord will direct our path. Again, not just in the bigger things. Lord, direct me to my next husband, or my husband. Direct me, Lord, to my wife. Dear Lord, forgive me. Is this on tape, Brother Paul? Delete. Lord, direct my path. Where should I go to school? That's where. Start slow. Start simple. Start easy. Start just following Jesus today. Tomorrow you're going to wake up and you're going to wind up in the kitchen serving your wonderful, wonderful Lord. That's what he would have you to do. And then when you get out of the kitchen, what does he want for my life? Well, I got written down what I want for my life. Well, forget about what you want. Lord, what do you want from me? It won't involve I want you to stay in your room and read the Bible all afternoon and memory verses. That's not the Lord. If that's your concept of what it means to find the will of God, you've got it all messed up. The devil would like you to believe that you can't do it, it's boring. The greatest thing I ever did in my life was follow Jesus. And I don't just mean give my heart to him and say, save me from my sin, but just to give my whole life to him and say, do with it what you feel like doing. Do what you want with me. This little lump of clay that doesn't know a whole lot, can't do much, but Lord, what can you do? What do you want me to do? And that's how I wound up in Cluj-Napoca. That's how I wound up in California. Anybody want to go to California? Oh, except you from California. No wait. You don't want to go now, do you? Okay, good. We all want to just let the Lord. And there are things that he does in your life, surprises that he brings, blessings that he'll give to you, untold blessings. Because he's really a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord. Amen. Let him be your wonderful Lord. And if he's not, you might know him as Savior. That's wonderful. He's a wonderful Savior to me. Thank God he is. But I'm glad that he's also my wonderful, wonderful Lord. And so tonight and tomorrow and every day, however long you live, and when you get to be old, it's still the same thing. Lord, what do you want from me today? What wilt thou have me to do today? I desire that my life shall be ordered by me. No, thee, I mean, not me. I desire my life shall be ordered by thee. Oh, that my will be in perfect accord with thine own sovereign will, thy desires to fulfill. Lord, lead me today. Lord, direct my path. He really wants to do that. And he doesn't lead me, year by year. He doesn't lead me even day by day. You know how he leads? Step by step. Step by step, my path unfolds. The Lord directs my way. And there's a still small voice, somehow or other, in the back of your head or in your heart. I don't know where it comes from. But all of a sudden, you might hear that still small voice, and it'll say, this is the way. This is the way. Walk in it. Walk in it. And sometimes I didn't know what to do with myself. Sometimes I didn't know what the Lord would have for me. And I've prayed before, and I don't know if it's a scriptural prayer. I don't really find it in the Bible, but it's the best I could do. Sometimes I had to make a decision. I had to do something, and I didn't know what to do. And I just said, Lord, you're my heavenly Father, and I'll just trust you that you won't let me make a mistake. That if the door is to be shut, you have to shut it. This is what I'm going to do, Lord. I got to do something, and this is what I feel I should do, and I'm not really too sure, but Lord, don't let me make a mistake. The Bible says he won't lead you into a ditch. His sheep know his voice, and they just follow. And again, it's not blazoned on the sky. It's not one of those sky riders that comes and, oh, there it is, there I see it. It's generally not that way. Don't look over the lake and see if you can create an image in your mind of who. And don't do that way, but just common sense sometimes. You know what common sense is? Do we still have that today? Can't get that in the boathouse. Common sense is rather uncommon. But it's okay to use your common sense, because you know who gave you common sense? I hope the Lord does. I hope He sanctifies it. Use your head. Use your head. Be logical. But more than that, say, Lord, now you help me. Help me to think clearly your thoughts. Help me to do what you want me to do. Be to me my wonderful, wonderful Lord. And so, what will He have you do tonight? I don't know. What will He have you do with your life? I don't know, but start tomorrow living your life for the Lord. And I know you've done this. Some of you have been doing this for 100 years almost. But let's keep on listening to our Lord and following Him. Let's sing that third, fourth stanza. All the talents I have laid at thy feet. Thy approval shall be my reward. Be my store, great or small, I surrender it all to my wonderful Lord.
Hallelujah, 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 oh.
stand.